Saturday breakfast on 720 ABC Perth. Thanks for joining us. Now, the changes brought about by technology over the past 15 years have been massive, fast-moving, and they've caught many businesses by surprise. But my next guest, Maurice Misiolaski, founder of Your Eye on the Future, makes a living from guessing what comes next. What more could you want on a Saturday morning? Maurice, good morning.
Good morning. Perhaps a nice cup of coffee.
Well, if you're predicting it, it's coming. First of all, I want to talk about the sort of the way that someone is able to predict the future these days, because let's face it, it's just changing so rapidly. So what makes you feel as though you have the right to predict what is coming up?
Sure. I don't use the word predict because I think you're absolutely right. Predicting is really only a one-way road to nowhere. I talk about hypothesizing. And my role in life is to paint a picture of what's more likely to happen over the next period of time. What my clients come to me for is an understanding of what the world may evolve for them, how their customers might change, the technology we might be using. Will what they're doing still be relevant, or how can they change what they're currently doing into becoming more relevant down the track? And the most beautiful thing about the future, and I think we often take it for granted, and it's such a silly thing to say, is it's not been written yet.
No.
It's totally in our hands to create what we want out of it, and that's why I don't like the word predict. It's hypothesize.
Do you think that we're in a period where more change is happening in a shorter space of time than ever before?
You would expect me to say no less, but I absolutely do. I don't think in our entire history on this planet we've ever seen so much change in such a short period of time.
Mm.
We've certainly seen fundamental changes happen. We've seen Gutenberg's press. We've seen all kinds of things that have changed and reshaped society and what we are and who we are. But they've taken a long time to evolve. These changes that we've seen, our computers, the fact that we carry mobile phones around
yes.
with us, the fact technology is available everywhere we go, we can find answers to the most inane questions that we never even thought we wanted to ask. All of those things have happened literally in the blink of an eye.
Mm. We had, of course, the Industrial Revolution. Are
yes.
we now going through the technological revolution? Is it the equivalent?
Yeah, I absolutely think so. What I say to my audience is that you are living in a time when your grandchildren will come to you and say, "Were you around when?"
Yes.
And they'll talk about, "Were you around when the computer was first invented? That thing we used to call the internet. Were you there, Granddad, when that first came about?"
Yeah.
The same way we now ask people with great credulation, "Were you there when plane first took off, which was only 100 years ago?
Yes.
Were you there for the first motor yes. vehicle 100 years ago?"
So it's that same sort of transition that we're going through. But of course, it's changing so rapidly. No sooner has a technological advance come out than it's already out of date.
Absolutely. And that, I think, has a lot to do with the transparency of the world that we live in, the fact that we are so connected to each other, that it took a while, not so long ago, for any new technology, any new thinking to spread itself across a society. It literally might have taken years for it to spread across a society. It now takes the blink of an eye.
Mm.
It takes something being put up in a blog or being seen in that virtual space, and all of a sudden the whole industry shifted around it.
Mm.
And what you're finding is with human endeavor, which is something we've always been so good at, somebody sees that brilliant idea,
mm.
sparks off something else in their own mind, and all of a sudden they're running down the road somewhere.
Yes.
And that's why innovation is so quick nowadays.
Yes. So we're living in a very exciting time. We've just talked about the technology side, but let's talk about the people that go with it. Are people adapting at the same rate?
I think we have to. We're definitely having to adapt at the same rate. I think that there are issues around human nature and what human nature will become. There are things that I think we're a great voyeuristic society at the moment. I think we're a lot about me. I talk about this being really a hyper-personalized time when we expect the world to revolve around us in a way that we've never done before. And we're kind of being spoon-fed that that's okay, because our mobile devices, for instance, our computers, when we do searches, come back with information about where we're at. So if we want to have coffee, it's going to tell us where we are and what's around us. It's going to tell us where our friends are according to us. Google brings back search information that's about us.
Yes.
All of that thing feeds the ego, which is part of the human nature.
Yes.
So on one count, I kind of am worried about that, and I'm looking to see how we will evolve, hoping we'll calm down, and I'm seeing evidence that we are calming down.
Mm.
To me, there's been an overplay in blogs, in conversations. There's just been so much written out there.
Yes.
And I refer to it as kids in the candy store. You know, it's the first time we've been in there where we have this insatiable appetite.
Yes.
And you tend to find that once you've eaten your fill, you kind of get a bit more quiet about it. It's not as important anymore.
Okay.
And I'm finding that if you look to people who are more mature in their use, only simply meaning that they've done it for a lot longer, that their comments online are very different. The way that they view the world have, in many ways, started to calm down a bit.
Maurice Misiolaski is with us today as we discuss the future. He's the man behind Your Eye on the Future. looking at what comes next, let's just talk about certain facets of everyday life, and let's just look at breaking that down into the future. Let's start with potentially something that people get involved with on a Saturday, a bit of retail therapy, they go shopping. Let's look at how technology is changing that. Obviously, a lot more is being bought online. Where is retail going in your eyes?
Okay. So retail online, I think at the moment, is again overstated. It certainly has taken hold, but when you look at the total sales figures, it accounts for about 7 or 8%, even the most optimistic figures of total retail sales. The most optimistic figure I've ever seen takes it up to 20% in 5 years. I don't think that's true. What's happening is that, again, we are evolving into a space we've not seen before, and many of us are enjoying the ability of being able to shop where and when we want. At the moment, it's price-driven. Lots of people are going online saying, I can get it cheaper overseas or somewhere else, and they're buying because of it. But we're already starting statistically to see that there are new sites, new shopping spaces online that are not so price-driven. They're more driven about quality of product, difference of product availability, logistics and other things. So that price push that we've set, that we've talked about for the last year, is definitely not the future of what online is. To me, online is the ability that we can shop wherever we want, whenever we want. And many great retailers around the world, including Australia, have started to cotton onto that. They now say that our shop, even if it's not physically open, is now virtually open 24/7. Meaning, come into our physical store when we're open. We would love to serve you, love to engage with you. If, however, your need is beyond our opening hours, go online, go on web, go on mobile, order the stuff. If you want, come in and pick it up. Otherwise, we'll deliver it to you. What we're doing is offering you customer service, and that really is the way it should be seen. Customer service. The stores that are able to, with logistics and otherwise, they're opening their doors in one way or another, whenever it suits the customer.
Yes. The thing that is shaking up a lot of the retailers is the fact that if you don't do customer service, what do you have?
Well, exactly. And I think that's where we're missing out. That's a whole different argument for another day. I'm not convinced that Australians do service particularly well in retail. And I stand to be yelled at. I get yelled at a lot because of saying that. But unfortunately, I travel the world a lot, and I just don't think we're doing it as well as we could.
Okay. What about education?
Education. I think it's the most important thing that we can look at. Education is really about making sure that tomorrow's society unfolds the way we want it to be. And I'm not sure that we're doing the right things by our kids.
Well, it's interesting. You read a lot of the experts today, and they talk about the fact that we're educating our kids for jobs that don't even exist yet.
Yeah. And the figure that we throw around in statistics and damn lies is that at the moment, our kids will have 6 careers and 14 jobs in their lifetime. That's here in the Australian Bureau of Statistics tells us that. We're also told that 60% of the jobs that they will do, being kids that have not yet finished school, have not even yet been invented or thought about. So our education system really has to gear our kids towards a world of uncertainty, a world where there will be total transport. In other words, they'll need to move themselves from one career to another career, from one job to another job.
So we need to do more problem solving, because that's the world we face.
Absolutely. So I talk about creativity. I think that's really important. It's about problem solving, and it's about communication. Three really big areas moving forward, because the reality of the workplace seems to be that we will work in tribes or teams for the next 20, 30, 40 years, as long as we can see. People will assemble themselves around a particular project or task. They'll undertake that until it's done, the end of it. In other words, it might be putting together a brochure or whatever else they're doing, and then move on and work with a whole different group of people. The other thing that our children are seeing that I never saw in my lifetime was the reality that I'll work in a virtual space. I might not be desk-bound.
Yes.
And also that I am working with people across the planet. And different time zones, different cultures, different expectations, all sorts of things that are different. This is not a better or worse argument. The future is never better or worse. It's just different. And my concern is that with the best of intent, the education I had, I don't believe, will serve our children as well as it served me. We need to take the best of it. There were certainly such great things that came out of education, and I'm not asking us to forgive or forget all of it. But some of it has to be changed to make sure it's relevant to tomorrow, not just to yesterday.
Very interesting. Okay, that's education, that's retail. Let's look at another major issue here in Australia. We're all getting older, so aged care and how that deals with the growing population that move into that space.
Yeah, so aged care, as you've said rightly, is an issue for Australia, as it is for many developed nations. By 2050, we will have 1 in 4 people over 65 years of age. We'll also have a dwindling workforce. So we have this reality of people living longer because we will most probably live to 100, 120. Our children will live to 120. We will be in relatively good health for most of that time because, thankfully, over the next couple of decades, we'll move into a medical system that's more about prevention than cure.
Mm-hmm.
So we will live longer, we will be healthier, and we will also want to live at home as long as we can, which is no different from today, but we will be able to do it. So technology, I think, will play a big part in that. But what we will see is technology come to the fore that will be able to monitor a person, their well-being, their heart rate, whatever else we need to know about them, make sure that they're eating, taking their medicines and doing whatever they need to do in the home,
yeah.
And also connect them to a community that's beyond. So technology, to me, will take that preemptive strike of being able to make sure that we are at home, we're healthy, we're sustained, we're stimulated, and then when necessary, step in to offer additional assistance. And we're seeing some interesting stuff already. There's, out of Melbourne, there's a dementia robot that's just come onto the marketplace, which is a little robot that sits in front of a dementia patient. And what it does is to have a conversation with that person and monitor their eyes and their head movement. And when they see that that's not as it should be, they'll then call for assistance for a nurse or somebody else. So it's a one-on-one activity. We're seeing great robots. Again, this is all coming out of Japan. Japan loves their robots. We're seeing robots that wash patients' hair. Now, I know that doesn't seem like a big step forward, but if you think about the number of things that our poor nurses have to do in an aged care facility, as important as washing hair is, and it absolutely is, if that can be given over to something else, like a robot that does it particularly well, yeah. Then they can be relieved of that duty and go on to do other higher order moves. Yeah. We're seeing robots that pick patients up, again, in the most beautiful manner, I mean, totally respectfully, pick patients up and walk them across to another bed or to their wheelchair or whatever else.
Yeah.
We're seeing telemedicine, where a doctor can come in as the face of a robot. So go back to the 60s with that robot that walks around, and the head is actually a television set. And a doctor can come in and manipulate that robot around a hospital or around an aged care facility and visit patients. Now, again, I'm not saying that we should forget the one-to-one. Doctors will always come and have that one-to-one, but they can't be available 24/7 to do that. They can't run into a hospital or into an aged care home at the drop of a hat, but they can jump into a virtual robot and visit patients.
How different the world is going to look. Let's just end, if we can, Maurice, with business in general and how the businesses that we know today are going to change, and they have to change and adapt.
Yeah, absolutely. We're finding, for me, the greatest change I'm seeing in the boardrooms is this notion of what we used to believe management was all about, and that was about control. It was I lectured for 20 years through postgraduate, and I was just as guilty of peddling this stuff.
Yes.
That we had to be able to control, it had to be replicable, it had to be all kinds of things before we could, in earnest, put it into our business. And we're finding that's not true anymore, that really what we need to do is to be able to manage. Our great employer, somebody that motivates us, is somebody that really can know how to ask the right questions, allow his or her team to find the answers in time, and also is open to constant innovation. And that's the other big change. When I lectured, the interesting thing was that part of the philosophy was that it took 7 years and 6 stages to come up with a new product. That was the mantra that you did.
Yes.
Nowadays, if you give somebody 6 minutes, it's a long time. So businesses have to be agile. They really have to be able to look at the marketplace, to adjust and to innovate all the time. And innovate is not invent. Innovate is looking at what they do and making small changes. It might be the way they answer the phone. It might be the way they approach a marketplace. It might be the ability to go online, whereas before they were physical. There are lots of opportunities now in the intersection between the physical business and the virtual online space. And to me, that's where most of the innovation is taking place. And unfortunately, where I see businesses going by the wayside, it's where they don't get the intersection between the physical and the virtual. They think the virtual is a bit of a bolt-on. You know, maybe it'll go away and I'm too busy for all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
They're missing the opportunities that are out there that are bound when you put the two of them together synergistically well. And that, I think, is the largest difference I've seen over the last 5 years and most probably will carry through the next 5 or 10 years.
Gee, we could talk for a long time. We've just covered off sort of 4 topics. There are probably another 44 that we could do. Maybe do that next time. But, Maurice, thank you so much for your time and for, you know, opening our eyes to what is around the corner. And I suppose that the final word would be we mustn't be fearful of it. It will happen. We have to adapt with it.
We absolutely do. Remember that we are always in charge. The future is still in our hands. We can choose to use this stuff for niceness or for evilness, to quote Get Smart. Totally up to us to do what we want with it.
Very interesting indeed. Thank you so much for joining us, Maurice Misiolowski.
A pleasure.